Welcome to the latest episode of the Gospel Podcasts. These recordings are published weekly by the Christians that assemble at the Hospital Hill Gospel Hall in Dunfermline, Scotland. Be assured you are in our prayers, and we know that God will bless you for listening. Further information is provided at the end of this short podcast. I now pass you over to the latest message recently recorded at the Gospel Hall. Thank you.
I'd like to read in a very well-known passage of Scripture, John chapter 3, the Gospel by John in chapter 3, and we're going to take the time to read the first 21 verses. We won't be able to speak on all those verses, but I just want to highlight one or two things this afternoon. So John chapter 3, and we'll read from verse 1. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest, except God be with him. Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus saith unto him, How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, Ye must be born again. The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh and whither it goeth. So is every one that is born of the Spirit. Nicodemus answered and said unto him, How can these things be? Jesus answered and said unto him, Art thou a master or a teacher of Israel, and knowest not these things? Verily, verily, I say unto thee, we speak that we do know, and testify that we have seen, and ye receive not our witness. If I have told you earthly things, and ye believe not, how shall ye believe if I tell you of heavenly things? And no man hath ascended up to heaven, but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man, which is in heaven. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For every one that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God. Now we know that the Lord will bless this reading from his word. Now for those of us who are Christians, I'm sure we have read John chapter 3 so many times that we scarce can remember or count the number of times. But it's amazing as you read it again that something new comes to your mind. And what struck me as I was reading this passage recently was the various ways in which the Lord Jesus is presented to us. In fact, you'll find 8 ways in the chapter in which the Lord Jesus is presented to us. We're going to think, or I'm going to identify 5 of those just now. We're not going to be able to speak much about them all. But the first way in which the Lord Jesus is presented to us is as a teacher come from God. That's the confession, that's the realization, that's the appreciation that Nicodemus had at the beginning of the chapter. We know that thou art a teacher come from God. And of course, when you come into the presence of a teacher, you want to know what he is going to teach. And we're going to learn that the Lord Jesus has some very important things to teach Nicodemus. He had to teach him that the great need to be born again, that there needed to be the imparting of a new life, that eternal life, the everlasting life. And so the first way in which the Lord Jesus is presented in this passage is as a teacher. Now, he's more than a teacher, far more than a teacher, but that was the understanding of Nicodemus at the beginning. The second way the Lord Jesus is presented to us is as a divine witness. And we learn about that in verse 11. The Lord Jesus says, we speak that we do know and testify that we have seen. And the commentary of the Lord Jesus is, and ye receive not our witness. And the question is, well, who are the we? The Lord Jesus has been speaking about the work of the Holy Spirit on earth. And he's likened it to the wind. And so for us to be saved, for us to come into this new life, we need the activity of the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit is working, just like the wind, uncontrolled by men, sovereign in his movements. And the Lord Jesus says, we speak, the Father and the Son are bearing witness to you of what the Holy Spirit is doing in the world. Doing, we trust, even in this gathering. And the question is, do we receive that? Do we believe that? So he is a divine witness. And then thirdly, he is the Son of Man. And as the Son of Man, he has come down from heaven. And why did he come down from heaven? Well, he came down from heaven really to reveal to us what heaven was like and to reveal to us the Father. But he's done far more than that. And we learn in verse 14 that as the Son of Man, he was lifted up. And the Lord Jesus is speaking, although he's speaking impersonally, he is speaking about his own death. He's speaking about his experience on the cross. And really, behind the language that is used, and he's taking advantage, I suppose, of the fact that Nicodemus would know about the incident of the serpent in the wilderness, that he was lifted up and made sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might become the righteousness of God in him, that we might have imputed to us the very righteousness of God, because our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. They're not acceptable before God. And the Lord Jesus, by his death, has made it possible for us not to perish, but to have eternal life. And that is available to everyone. Whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. And then he's presented to us as the only begotten Son of God. And we have this wonderful verse, that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. God sent him, and the Son of God came himself. And by believing in him, we are guaranteed, we are promised this wonderful gift, that we will not perish, but have everlasting life. Now, I suppose, out of all the wonderful gospel texts that can be preached on, this is one verse that has been used so many times to bring salvation to a sinner. And maybe it will be for you, that you can believe in the only begotten Son of God. You're amongst the whosoever that is presented to us here. Whosoever believeth in him. And as we were learning earlier, this is a faith that is entirely in Christ, depending on him and on him alone. And we have this promise from God: should not perish, but have everlasting life. And the fifth way the Lord Jesus is spoken of in the little section we've read is he is the light. He is the light that has come into the world. And that is a really challenging thing. Who are we looking to for enlightenment? We're in the dark. Perhaps this afternoon you have a desire to know God, a desire to know the truth, a desire for some appreciation of why you are here and where you are going. My dear friends, we've got to come to the light. There's no point looking to the light of men. That's darkness. But God sent his Son, and he came as the light to illuminate the path, to show us God, to show us our condition, to show us the way of salvation. He is the light that we've got to come to. And the tragedy was this, as it's summed up in these verses, that men love darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. You see, the one thing that light does is it shows things up, and it shows us up, and it reveals us as sinners in the sight of God. We cannot hide from God. And one of the reasons why men hated Christ was because he exposed their sinfulness and exposed their hearts before God. And so we find in these wonderful verses, the Lord Jesus is presented in these ways. If you want to know the other statements, he is the Christ, he's the bridegroom, and he's the one from above. And in John chapter 3, there is this wonderful presentation of the person of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, when we come to chapter 3, the interesting thing is, this is a one-to-one. This is not the Lord Jesus speaking to a multitude. This is not the Lord Jesus speaking to his disciples. This is a one-to-one experience for Nicodemus with the Son of God. And dear friends, although the Lord Jesus is in heaven, you need a one-to-one experience with Christ. Just you and Christ. That is the big thing. And that's what Nicodemus has in John chapter 3. And the remarkable thing is that John wrote this gospel really towards the end of the first century. And this incident, I suppose, may have been known by others. Maybe he communicated it before this time. But how grateful we are that John, guided by the Holy Spirit, wrote this incident, this private incident that took place between Nicodemus and Jesus. And it was just this one-to-one. Nicodemus is now separated from all his fellow rulers of the Jews. And he's just in a one-to-one conversation with the Lord Jesus Christ. This is what salvation needs. This is what we need. We need to see ourselves and rid ourselves of what others are thinking about, and our friends and our family. And it's just us and God. And that's what we have in John chapter 3 in these verses. And he comes to Jesus by night. Now, there might be many reasons why he came to Jesus by night. But the idea, I think, is this, that Nicodemus comes in the dark and he comes into the presence of the light of the world. You know, there's a man at the other end of John's gospel called Judas. And he's sitting in the light of the presence of Christ, and he leaves the light for the darkness, an eternal darkness. He leaves Christ and goes and betrays him. And he goes out into the night, and that's where he is still. He's in the darkness of hell. But here is Nicodemus, and he's in the dark, and he comes into the light. And dear friend, that can be your experience even tonight, this evening, that you can be in darkness, in ignorance of God, not knowing God as your Father and not knowing Jesus Christ as your Lord and Saviour, and you can come into the light just like Nicodemus did. But Nicodemus came into the light, and there were all sorts of misconceptions and ideas that needed to be cleared up before he was going to come into the good of salvation. And he did come into the good of salvation, because we know that by his appearance at the end of John's gospel. But here he speaks first of all, and he says what he knows. That's always a good place to start. What do we know? Well, we know that thou art a teacher come from God. And that was true, but it wasn't the whole truth. And that was the problem. And there are many people in the world today, and they would acknowledge that Jesus is a teacher come from God. They would They would read his teaching and they would see that it has value. They would see that it has merit. But they do not understand his person. They need to understand that he is the Son of God. That they need to understand that he is the Son of Man and he is the light. And all these other statements we have read of in John chapter 3. They need to get their eyes open to the greatness of the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. Yes, he is a teacher come from God, but he's not only a teacher. He is more than, he is God manifest in flesh. And although men who lived in Nazareth saw him as a man, and truly he became a man, but he's not only a man, he is God manifest in flesh. I wonder what your appreciation of the Lord Jesus Christ is. I wonder how he appeals to you. Is it just that you find his teaching interesting? Or maybe his miracles appeal to you? What is it that draws you? You see, we need to be drawn to who he is. Yes, he's a teacher, but so much more. He is the very creator of all things. That's how this gospel begins. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. We need to see him as the saviour that God sent into the world. We need to see him as the one that was lifted up for us upon the cross. At that time, Nicodemus didn't understand those things. But that's what the Lord Jesus now is going to speak about. And Nicodemus also speaks about the fact that this man, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest, except God be with him. And what struck Nicodemus and his fellow rulers was that this man had power. This man had power. And at the end of the day, if you think of all the religions in the world, what you need someone who has power to save you. There's no point deciding you're going to follow a particular code if it's not going to deliver you from your sins and take you from earth to heaven. There is no point in that. It might satisfy your curiosity and salve your conscience for a little, but what you need, dear soul, is a saviour with power to save. And our Lord Jesus Christ is that saviour. The epistle to the Hebrews in chapter 7 says this: he is able to save. He is able to save. Dear soul, just grasp those words, please, this afternoon. He is able to save. And not only partially, but to the uttermost, completely. All that come to God by him. And we present to you this afternoon, as we do from week to week, a saviour who is able to save. You can have confidence in him. He will not let you down. He will not make you a promise that he cannot fulfil. And here this man realises that he is drawn to Christ and he is impressed by these works of power. But those works of power were indicating, or should have indicated, that this was no mere man. Here was the very Son of God. We know the Lord Jesus is remarkable in the way in which he approaches this man. Nicodemus has acknowledged that he's a teacher. Well, the Lord is going to teach him something. And Jesus answered. His answer was this: truly, truly, I say to thee. So in the context of what has just been said, I, the one whom you have acknowledged as a teacher, am saying this to you. I'm teaching you this. Except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. And that was a problem for Nicodemus. Nicodemus was impressed by miracles, but what he didn't realize was the kingdom of God was there because God was there. God in the person of the Son of God was there. And Nicodemus couldn't see it. He couldn't see it. And in order for him to see it, he needed this new birth. He needed this new life. Being born a Jew was not enough. Being one of the teachers of Israel was not enough. He needed to be born again. And that is true for every one of us. We need to be born again. The Lord Jesus says in verse 7 very pointedly, he says, you must be born again. And he's pointing, as it were, to Nicodemus, this religious man, this man who was steeped in the Jewish religion. He needed to be born again. And dear soul, we need to be born again as well. We need this new life. And the Lord Jesus explains how we receive that life in this passage. We believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and we come into the good of this salvation. Now, Nicodemus had some questions, and we're not going to get very much further than these questions this evening. And you might think these questions are silly questions. You might think that Nicodemus is being a bit foolish in asking these questions, but the Lord Jesus answers them. The Lord Jesus answers them. How can a man be born when he is old? That's a very good question, actually. And maybe we're not too impressed by the bit that follows. Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? And obviously the answer to that is no. There seems to be a kind of cynicism in that question. But the Lord Jesus takes him up on that, and he answers the question. He answers the question, how, first. Except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. This is how you get into the kingdom of God. And what the Lord Jesus is using, he is using, first of all, a figure. Water in the Bible speaks about the word of God and its cleansing effect. When Paul writes to Titus, he speaks about the washing of regeneration and the renewing of the Holy Spirit. And dear soul, that is why we preach the word of God to you. It's not our words that have power. It's the word of God that has power. The word of God is described like this. It is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. The Lord Jesus said this on one occasion. The words that I speak to you are spirit and life. You see, what you need, dear friend, is to hear and believe the word of God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And the way we get new birth and the way we get this life is by receiving the word of God, believing what we're taught in the scriptures. But there is also a mysterious work involved. There is the work of the Holy Spirit who imparts this life. And the Lord Jesus says, if you want to be in the kingdom of God, and for us, if we just very simply this evening put it this way, if you want to be in heaven, you are going to have to come this way. There is no other way. There is no other option that is available to us. But then let's think very quickly, just in closing, of Nicodemus' second question. You might think, well, that's a bit of a silly question. Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? You say, what a foolish question to ask. But the Lord Jesus answers it in this way. In effect, he says this, even if you could, it would make no difference. Even if you could, it would make no difference. You see, he says, that which is born of the flesh is flesh. That which is born of the Spirit is spirit. You see, even if it was possible to be born physically a second time, it would make no difference at all. You'd just be exactly the same. You'd be exactly the same. But what you need, the Lord Jesus is saying to Nicodemus, you need to be born of the Spirit. There needs to be that work of God in my heart, bringing me to the point where I repent of my sins and trust in the Lord Jesus and I get new life. The wages of sin is death, the Bible teaches us in Romans chapter 6. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And the Lord Jesus uses an illustration, and with this we'll close. He uses the illustration of the wind. And there is an interesting study in John's Gospels that the Holy Spirit is likened to a dove in chapter 1. He's likened, his movements are likened to the wind in chapter 3. He is likened to a well of living water in chapter 4. And rivers of living water in chapter 7. but here it is just the wind. Not a storm of wind, not a mighty rushing wind that we find in Acts chapter 2, but just a breath. And the thing about that we need to understand is the Holy Spirit is sovereign. And I want to just bring this to you in closing. If, dear soul, you feel in your heart this afternoon that this is something that is important, getting right with God is important, and perhaps over the last months or years, you have been thinking about this more often day by day, and it is on your heart and it's on your conscience, and the question of your sins is becoming a burden to you, that is an indication that God is working in your life. Don't resist. Don't delay. You cannot control God's working with you, but you can resist it. And I leave with you the words of the Saviour. If you will hear his voice, harden not your heart. Or as the Lord said in the book of the Revelation, he that has ears to hear, let him hear. Dear soul, don't resist God. Don't try to avoid these issues. If God is speaking to you and working in your life and bringing these things to your attention, don't resist it. Don't try to avoid these things. But rather, as Nicodemus did, as we know he did, he accepted what the Lord taught and he believed in the Lord Jesus Christ. And at the end of this gospel, we defined him at the cross. And we find him with Joseph of Arimathea, actually party to the burial of the Lord Jesus. And he nailed his colours to the mast, as it were, at the end. And this private conversation that only involved himself and the Lord brought him to salvation. Dear friend, although you are in a public meeting this afternoon, if you're going to get saved, it's going to be a personal encounter with Christ. You and him only. And you need to get to grips with these things. And you need to think about the teaching of Christ. Do you think the Lord Jesus taught Nicodemus things that were untrue? I'm sure you don't think that. I'm sure you understand that the words of the Lord Jesus are important. And he taught Nicodemus these things because these were things Nicodemus needed to know. And needed to believe. And the same is true for us. And so I commend to you this afternoon, the teacher come from God, but more than a teacher, the Son of God, the Son of Man, the light, oh, that you would receive him and come pass from darkness into light. Shall we pray?
Thank you once again for taking the time to listen to this, the latest episode in the Gospel Podcast series. We trust that God will bless you for listening. And if you've not already done so, that you would take this opportunity to put your trust in the Lord Jesus Christ for the eternal salvation of your precious soul. If you would like further information, or indeed a free personal copy of God's Word, the Bible, you're welcome to contact us. Full contact details can be found on our website, www.hospitalhillgospelhall.org. May God bless you, and goodbye for now.